for a few more people. I think more people will come in when they get finished with their daily assignments. But it kind of a, you know, an overall vision of what the Eleanor looks like in and out of the water when she's rigged and sailing. One thing I can say, you just saw a Thanksgiving Day sale, is that we always went for a Thanksgiving Day sale, and I was reading some of the logs this morning. That's the diary that you keep when you're on board. And I was looking at dates that were November and December, sailing in November and December, down to New York. So a lot of that's Clinton Crane. He was the naval architect that designed the Eleanor and other four other sister ships, vessels like her, very well known at the turn of the century. That's one of my favorite photographs. I think she looks like a bird ready to fly. And here she definitely is. This was taken from the Rip Van Winkle Bridge looking down. So those are just some, you know, photographs that kind of show some of the style. Yeah. Two of the river's treasures, the lighthouse and the Eleanor. Good. Hi, come on in. Come on in. Yeah, we're not really starting. We're just talking a little bit. So all right, I'm going to kind of start a formal presentation over here. Here's our agenda for our meeting. If you just you can turn your chairs around, that'd be fine. Okay. Our agenda is going to be, I'm going to give some introductory remarks and just a little, I guess, a little bit of my philosophy or my feelings about the Eleanor. And then Cass and Kennedy will talk about or explain to you about the restoration plans and a little bit about the history of the Eleanor. And then Mr. Rapp, Joe Rapp, is going to explain about sponsorships and funding to some degree. And then I'll make some concluding remarks, and we'll have a time after Joe Rapp does his presentation to ask some questions. That's kind of the outline of how we're going to go. Now, I want you to remember that we have already a very simple website. We felt it was important to get a website up and going, so it's very basic, but any detailed information that you want, you can go to the website, HudsonRiverHistoricBoat.org, and that will link you to some of the articles that have already been in the newspaper. They'll give you in-depth detail about, for instance, Clinton Crane, or why the Eleanor is back here in Columbia County now. So use that as a resource. The other thing that I want to draw your attention to before we begin are these yellow cards, buff-colored cards, and I need to have, or we need to have these filled out by everyone here before you leave. And it's important that you write, you know, your name very clearly, so that we can email you the information, so that you can stay in the loop, so you know what's happening. Don't be afraid to put your email down. We're not gonna share it with anyone else. And then as the meeting progresses, if there are areas of interest that after you hear a presentation or during a presentation, you say like, oh, gee, that sounds interesting. I'd like to do that, or I'd like to be in on that. Check those off, and if your interest isn't there, just fill in where it says other and put what your interest is. And if you have questions that aren't answered today, write those on the back, or if you have information that you can't fit on the front, put it on the back. And those cards can go either to Joe Keneally sitting there with the blue plaid shirt, or me, or you can put them in our treasure boxes. either place. The other thing that you can either fill in today or take with you is a pledge sheet of contributions that you'd like to make in 2011. And we're doing a pledge sheet now because our corporate designation is not established yet. Our lawyer, the legal counsel, is working on that. But as you know, when you're working and passing things through the state, it takes a little bit more time than what you'd like. So we'd like to kind of get an idea of the people who are here, what you think your contributions will be this year. And then when our corporate standing is up, we'll let you know and you can begin to activate those pledges. And there are envelopes here to use with those too. It's a two-piece one. The bottom is for you. The top is for us if you want to make that pledge today. Okay. So there's an exit here I think you should be aware of. And of course the entrance where you came in case we need to leave in a hurry. But nobody's going to leave. Well, okay, so who am I? Well, I'm Louise Bliss, and I did a lot of sailing on the Eleanor as the daughter of Philip Egan, who was the owner of the Eleanor from 1952 until 1998. So I and my three sisters, and Julie is here today. She's another avid sailor, having done a lot on the Eleanor, and also her son Joseph is also a graduate of the Eleanor School of Sailing. So, and I guess I should say that I have a lot of background in working with grants and historic preservation through the Hudson Athens Lighthouse. My husband Joe, I, Bob Eilenberg are three people in the room, and Guy
Mark.
And Mark, Mark Dolan, I'm sorry, are people in the room, and Guy Falkenheimer are people in the room who really worked on, or continue to work on, the preservation of the lighthouse. So I grew up in Columbia County, and after I moved out of the county, I always came back to visit my parents who owned an apple farm out in North Claverick, some of you know, and always continue to sail on the Eleanor faithfully. So first I'd like to thank Emory, our host. He's not here, but he provided the facility for us today. And I would like to also acknowledge they're not here, but they were invited. Stacy Matsuzovic from the Historic Sites Restoration, she's a coordinator. And I wanted to make her aware of what we were doing. Jane Miller, I invited her, and she's from the Claremont Historic Site. And I invited Jane because Claremont has a direct hook with the Livingston family. Victor Onyet, am I pronouncing that correctly, is from the Oyster Bay Sailing Foundation, and we're looking forward to his contribution about bringing young people into racing and sailing. And not here is Mike from Riverview Marine Services in Catskill. He knows more about the Eleanor than anybody else in this room at this time. The Eleanor was always wintered, was always in dry dock at Mike's. He always put her in the water, took her out of the water. So he has a tremendous knowledge of the Eleanor and what she needs. And he agreed to be on, at my invitation, agreed to be on our board, which I thought was, I was very excited about that. Nick Tipple is not here. He's been helping Bob Eilenberg. Steve Sigler helped set up the room. And Joe Keneally is providing the location for the Eleanor where she is now. That's at 19123B, where you drive in where the ADM milling plant is. Drive in and go to your left. You'll see Eleanor right now. She's covered with a blue tarp. But she gets lonesome, so go over and say hello and tell her you're interested and that you are, you know, going to stop by and say hello now and then. Okay? So be sure and go over there and say hello. I asked Don Moore to come as president of Hudson's Common Council, because I'm hoping that the Eleanor will be a star down there at the waterfront when she comes to visit Hudson or Stockton. Dave Korolek, Marianne Shriek, and are two of the earliest sailors were invited to sail. Hi, come on in. Do you have chairs that we can get out, or there's spaces right here?
Thanks.
Thank you. So, I just will continue a little bit with the history. In 1982, Eleanor was placed, thanks to the efforts of Captain Phil Egan and the prior owner of the Eleanor for 50 years, the Eleanor was placed on the National Register of Historic Places. And a boat is not a place, so if you read about the national designation, it's an object. I don't like to call Eleanor an object, but that's the way she's designated in that. But this designation has given the Hudson River Historic Boat Restoration and Sailing Society, that's our official name right here, the Hudson River Historic Boat Restoration and Sailing Society, has given us kind of a jump start toward applying for grants and public monies. Of course, we'll also, as in any restoration, be looking for private contributions and, of course, volunteer help, which will facilitate the restoration process of the Eleanor. Also, and equally important, because of the designation of the historic boat Eleanor, she always flew the New York State flag. From 1982 to 1998, she flew the New York State flag, and she was presented that flag every year by the government of New York State. And I think the significance of that flag is that it showed that the boat, Eleanor, belonged to all the people. And that she wasn't just solely for, you know, the family for sailing, but many people were invited to sail on her and felt a part of her history. And I think that's why there's so much interest among people from the prior era of Eleanor's existence life. So I kind of think of Eleanor as belonging to everybody, and of the restoration process of belonging to everybody too, and that everybody should have an opportunity to participate in that. So when she returns to the waters of the Hudson River, there will be many more opportunities and different kinds of opportunities for people to continue to endear themselves to Eleanor, and she will become a resource for the people of the Hudson River Valley. Her home port for 70 years was Catskill, because even while the Livingstons owned her, her home port was Catskill. So she was known throughout Columbia County and Greene County, and I would like her to be shared in that way again. She participated in all of the New York City op sails. She sailed down to New York City with crew. She was always an invited guest. She always was given a berth. And by doing that, she represented the upper regions of the Hudson Valley with pride and beauty. And she is back here in the Hudson River area to continue that heritage and her right to represent the people of the upper Hudson River. One final point, and this is sort of like my tie to Eleanor. One final point, Eleanor to me will always be Eleanor. She was designed and born to be Eleanor by Clinton Crane. That was always her name and always will be her name. She has never lost her soul or her life. Some years ago, I asked someone how the soul of Eleanor, if she were to be restored, would be preserved. The answer was this: We never completely disassemble a boat. We always keep one original piece of the boat attached to the keel. And so it has been with Eleanor, and it will be with Eleanor. She did not die. She is not being given a new life. She is continuing with the life that she always had, and she is just returning to her home, waters, here in the Hudson River. Now, you have to be in love with a boat to acknowledge that they have a soul. And I hope that you will all be able to have a boat someday where you believe and know that your boat has a soul. But I know that Eleanor has a soul, and that's why I want you to go over and visit her. So, if you want to be ready to sail when Eleanor's ready to sail, let's not keep her waiting when she gets in the water. Let's start sailing this season, okay? This is a sailing society. So, I would say, if you don't have a sailboat, get a sailboat. If you know someone who has a sailboat, say, can I go sailing with you? Because you know what? They're always looking for people to go sailing. And if you have a sailboat that's in a barn or hidden away, get it out and let's sail it. Because you know what? There are people here who can teach you how to sail, so don't be afraid to buy a sailboat. I mean, I'm looking around, I see experienced sailors, they're here. We'll email you their addresses. I'm sure they'll be happy to teach you how to sail. So, I would say that would be so much fun to turn this area of the Hudson River into a sailing mecca. I believe that it's only the true, real sailors that know how to sail up here in the Hudson River where it's narrow. Okay, a lot of people don't come up here because they're like, oh, I can't sail up there, that's too hard. But you know what? We can sail up here. So I think that we should get going with that sailing idea and be ready for Eleanor when she goes in the water, so that all of the sailboats will be circling around and all the sails will be flapping and clapping and applauding her return. Wouldn't that be great? So don't hesitate. Let's get sailing. Okay? And with that, I would like to introduce Cassin Kennedy. Right? Sail right.
Louise, how did the book get named?
The designer named Eleanor.
Was that his wife?
No, that was just the name that felt was right for that boat.
So it doesn't relate to anything else?
No.
Okay.
What? Mm-hmm. Just like, you know, when someone gives birth to a baby, they go, this is Marsha. Maybe not named for anybody, but it's a Marsha. This was an Eleanor. Okay. Cassin, you will introduce yourself and give your background, please.
Any mitigation? I'm Cassin Kennedy. Was a boat builder on Martha's Vineyard for quite a while, and I'd like to thank everyone for coming. It's encouraging to see people as interested as we are. You know, a little bit of how I got here. Anyway, I moved up to Hudson and wanted to do a boat project, and I was kicking around some different ideas. I wanted to do something that was, you know, appropriate to this region and the river. And I was talking to Nick Haddad, and he said, well, you know, you should talk to Joe Keneally and Louise Bliss. They have this boat, the Eleanor, and I'm not really sure where she is right now, you know, give them a call. So I did. I talked to Joe, I talked to Louise, and Louise and I met and started talking about the Eleanor. She was telling me about the Eleanor. I was telling her about, you know, my boat experience and the ideas I had, at least at that point, for some sort of a boat project in Hudson. And it was a good meeting. It was a nice meeting. I think we hit it off pretty well, and soon we realized, you know, I realized, well, this sounds like the boat that I want to get involved with, and she wanted to, you know, have this boat, you know, repaired and back on the water. So I started doing a little bit of research about the Eleanor and making some phone calls And, you know, pretty quickly I realized that I definitely wanted to be involved in something to get the Eleanor back on the water. And I also realized that, you know, if we were going to do this project, it really was going to be about the Eleanor. It wasn't going to be about me having a boat project to do just because I was interested in doing it. It really, you know, the Eleanor really deserved to have, you know, this attention and be brought back up here to where she sailed for more than 70 years up in this region. And so really, ultimately, that's why I'm here and we're here right now, because of the Eleanor. As far as a boat as a physical object, I want to talk a little bit about the boat itself and what she needs and why it's important that we do this project. You know, she's 100 years old, more than 100 years old. And in the course of a boat's life, you know, there's the routine maintenance every year. And then periodically there's some, you know, major work that has to happen to some components. Sometimes, you know, it's time for a new deck or some new planks or, you know, any number of things, really. And, you know, when that happens for a boat, the boat tends to survive for quite a while. Some boats don't get it and they're not around very long, but you know, it's important, I think, for everyone to realize that even boats that are well maintained and cared for rarely stick around for a century or longer. And I think that fact that Eleanor is still here is a real testament to the love and care that she got from her owners. Over, you know, again, more than 100 years, this boat has been here. But nevertheless, it's time for some major work on the Eleanor. Sorry, I lost my spot. It's time for her to get some work done. So the first thing that she needs is she needs to have a house. You know, she has to have a building built over her. We're gonna try to build something like a pole barn, about 25 by 40. We need to have electricity, water, some sort of a floor. We need benches, and inside the shed to do the work, and we're gonna need a lot of different tools, none of which we have right now. So. You know, first step is to get the boat, and we've done that. Next is the building. So that's sort of where we're at right now, to try and raise some money to build a shed over her. The next thing that'll happen once she's all secure inside a building is to take the lines off the boat, and that's a boat building term for basically a construction drawing. It's a way to represent the three dimensions of a boat on a two-dimensional sheet of paper, and they're really all the reference points for when you're building a boat new. Now, we could go through and just by measurement, piece by piece, replace different components of the boat. But the thing about the lines drawing that's important to realize here is that it's also a documentation of the boat. And we all may have our own personal interests in the boat right now, but it's important to realize that this boat was designed by a prominent naval architect. And there is no, that we can find at least, no lines drawing of the boat. But there is a widespread interest in having a lines drawing for Clinton Crane's boats. You know, boat designers and builders today will reference old drawings. It's of interest to historians, to, you know, to everyone who's really interested in a wooden boat. So after the boat building, after the shed is built, the next thing is to actually take off the lines of the boat and develop a set of plans so that we have that element of her history preserved on paper. And that's a bit of a process. It's fun. It's a lot of measuring. It's a lot of correcting and redrawing. But nevertheless, it is important, especially for a boat of Eleanor's pedigree. So once that's done, then we have the reconstruction of the boat. And in basically, what should happen is we'll do a thorough assessment of actually, you know, piece by piece, what needs to be replaced, what needs to be repaired, and go through and get a good picture of what we're going to do. And then from that, we can develop a well-thought-out, efficient plan to sort of plan of attack to rebuild the boat. In the reconstruction, in the repair, I think it's also important to document as much as we can. You know, pieces that we may pull out that are unusable, a photograph should be taken. Its actual dimensions, you know, marked down. Now, obviously, that's important for rebuilding the boat, but it's also another piece of her history that should be preserved. As far as the boat, you know, the major components in a nutshell of a boat are the keel and its components, the frames, the deck framing, rudder, cockpit, deck, the house, planking, the transom. All of these have to be addressed on the Eleanor. They all need at least some level of attention. So that's sort of the aim with the reconstruction. Then, you know, I just want to also say that, you know, once this is done and the boat's rebuilt, then all of a sudden we have a boat. You know, and what we do with the boat after she's back in the water is just as important as rebuilding the boat. You know, to have kids get out on the Hudson River and sail, adults, there's opportunities to do benefits with the boat. These are all things that need to be considered and, you know, discussed and decided on. And the last thing I want to say, and I really think this is important, is that Louisa's father, Philip Egan, sailed the boat on the river for over 50 years. And he shared the boat with his friends and his family, and from what I understand, with anyone who was interested in being on the river, in being on the Eleanor. And to me, that's the spirit of the Eleanor. And as much as anything, you know, it's that spirit that we're trying to preserve. So that's my bit about the boat and the boat building. So Joe's up next.
Yes.
Thanks.
I'm gonna remain seated. If you
don't mind. Do you want to move away from the heat? You like the heat?
Hi, everybody. My name is Joe Rapp. I own and operate a construction company in Hudson. Some of you that don't know me. I also sail on the river, and I got to tell you, it's harder to sail on the river than it is the ocean. That's for sure. And I sail all summer, so anybody that does want to sail, they can call for me. And I also have two wooden boats that I'm restoring. But what I'm here to talk about for a few moments is what the next step is. This is a great meeting. I want to thank you all for coming out, showing your interest. But what we need to do is organize and get to work. And basically, in a not-for-profit that this organization will become at some point, there'll be a basic committee structure. There'll be a board of directors, an executive committee, and some basic committees. The most exciting part of this organization is going to be the rebuilding or reconstruction of the boat. And that's the fun part. The not so fun parts are data entry and stuffing envelopes and raising money. So we're basically going to have four basic committees. And on the card that we're going to ask you all to fill out, if you would, and leave it with us, it breaks that down a little bit more. But basically, we have development, which is a nice word for fundraising. Our fundraising is going to be substantial. If you were to build a new wooden boat of this scope and complexity today in a wooden boat shop, we're probably looking at $300,000 for a new boat. So that's the scope of this project in terms of dollars. We don't know, we haven't determined what the cost would be for the restoration of this boat yet. That's coming at some point. We're definitely going to look into sponsorship on different levels, some sort of sponsorship program, and then all kinds of other fundraising grants. So that committee is going to need some very serious people with some expertise and experience and some depth of commitment, because it's a big job. Second one is going to be PR, and this is critical as well, as you know, to get the word out, and this drives the development committee as well. They'll work together, certainly in the sponsorship program. There's going to be a program committee, because this boat is going to become part of the program. It is the program now, but it's going to become the biggest part of programs. I would assume there'll be programs about the boat while it's being reconstructed, as an educational tool, whatever. But that committee is going to be charged with developing that, bringing up suggestions, having the board decide what the ultimate programs about this boat will be. And then the fund committee is going to be the building committee or construction committee, which will also have a chair, but will work with Kasson. And that could be, depending on who's on the committee and how the construction lays out, there might be volunteer help to work on parts of the boat. In-kind donations of building materials and services for the boat, and finding all of that. Tools, borrowing tools, raising money to buy materials, all of that. So that is the next step. So if you're, any of you are interested, which I hope you all are, the next step here is to help us form these committees. So I think the next meeting will be a committee meeting. People have shown interest in being on that type of committee, so we can get started here. So again, I want to thank you all for coming.
Yeah, that's great. I'm impressed. Aren't you impressed?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Gee, thank you. Thank you, Joe. Thank you, Cass. I feel so endeared to you, to all of you. That was great. Really, I loved your presentations. It was, you know, real. Yeah, heartfelt. Thank you. Good. Do you have questions that you can ask, you'd like to ask Joe or Kasson or me? Anybody? All your questions were answered, or it's just...
I wonder if Kasson has done any inspection of the boat underneath the cupboard after it arrived, and what he sees potentially as, you know, the biggest problems at this point.
Well, I went to Newport before she came back and had a look at her. And it's, you know, as I was saying, there isn't really one part of the boat that doesn't need some attention. And I would say a good amount of the boat needs a lot of attention. So, when you look at a boat and you there's sometimes you can look at it and really, without digging too deeply, get a good sense of what she's going to need. And that was the case with the Eleanor. I mean, she really does need, top to bottom reconstruction and rebuilding. So, but as far as really really digging in to the boat, you know, going through it with an awl and poking at everything, no, I haven't done that yet. But I am confident that, you know, we are talking about a quite significant rebuild of the boat.
Having lost the mast and the boom for the boat and gab, how would you anticipate ever replacing something like that, or those pieces?
Well, it's not all that complicated, really. I mean, there's a few benchmarks that you start with. One is the shape of the boat, and this sort of speaks to why it's important to have the lines drawing. When you have the boat represented on a piece of paper, there's just a quite a simple mathematical way to determine where the what's called the center of lateral resistance is on the boat. And once you know that, you know approximately where you need to have your center of effort for your sail. You take into account the what kind of sail it is, how many sails she's gonna have before the mast, how, you know, if she's just one mast. And you will reference photos, so we'll, okay, well, we have about a 35-foot high mast above the deck. Her boom is approximately this long. And with those few pieces of information, it will be not at all really a challenge to determine the real specifics of each spar, and also the length of the luff of the sail and the leech and the roach and everything will be pretty easily determined.
So you think you pretty closely duplicate what was existing?
I think we'll be able to replicate it almost exactly. And again, that's because we do have a lot of photos and stuff like that. Now, if we didn't have the photos, then we would just work with a sail plan that was basically working on the physics of the boat, which is, okay, we need a center of effort that's just slightly above the center of lateral resistance, so this particular sail plan will work. But since we do have the photos, all of that information will basically just steer us to the right rig for the boat.
I guess this is as much a question for Joe, or observation. It seems to me that in terms of raising money for it, that the end use of it is going to be as important to explain as the process of restoring it.
Of course, absolutely.
And that would be something to work on in terms of. It's one thing to get the boat restored, and then it's another thing to determine to determine how it's going to be used, and programmatically, what are we, educational services or, you know, tourist activities.
And I think that's why it's critical to establish or start to establish the programmatic aspect of this organization right now.
Right.
Because that's going to be fundamental in applying for grants and pushing development in certain directions as well.
Right, yeah, because you have to develing something.
We're not going to restore a boat and park it in the river and have everybody just look at it.
Yeah.
No one's really going to donate money for that. Mm-hmm. I mean, some people will.
In terms of program, too, I just might add that you might want to consider some of the history that Philip Began had in terms of the use of the boat. For example, all of the years that he took the Eleanor out to sail for hunger, that was one of his missions, as well as ecological purposes. So there were many facets to his sailing interests, you know, that were for the benefit of humanity and our Earth. So in any program development, I would hope that a committee would look into those historical things that he felt were important to sailing, to enjoying water.
Yes, sure, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I didn't know about the Eleanor until I happened to be in Newport this Christmas and read about it just leaving there.
Huh?
And it's interesting to find out, you know, what happened in Newport. You know, in terms of it didn't rise to the top of the list of boats to get restored or something like that. And I'm wondering if it's be useful to go over a little bit of that.
Sure.
So that, you know, people either don't make the mistake that they made or whatever,
okay.
You know, just to bring us up to speed.
All right, sure. That was a good question. Just to ask, kind of asking what was going on with the Eleanor from 2000 until she returned to Columbia County. After my father died, my three sisters and I were given the boat, and we sailed her for a couple of years, and then realized that, as Catherine is saying, that more work was going to be needed, and we felt that we needed to place Eleanor in a safe place where she could be restored for sail, S-A-I-L, because we wanted Eleanor to be always in the water sailing. So for about a year and a half, we researched, and I kind of head up the research to try to find a place for Eleanor where she could be taken care of and restored. And after about a year and a half and a lot of letter writing and a lot of phone calls and work, we finally decided to place her at the International Yacht Restoration School in Newport, Rhode Island. And they take boats for rests to restore that have significant pedigree. And they were very interested in her pedigree, her history, her lines, who designed her. Was she on the National Register? Would she remain on the National Register? So they finally said, okay, we accept Eleanor into our program, and we said, okay, we accept you as the caretakers of Eleanor, and we entrusted Eleanor to the school. And we were told that she would be restored. There wasn't a time, you know, they didn't say, we'll restore Eleanor in 3 years. They said, we will restore Eleanor. Shortly thereafter, the program, the school program changed, because it is a school. And Eleanor, being 36 feet long, was a larger boat than what could be restored in their second year program after they redesigned the program. So what they needed to do then was to find someone who could finance the restoration. And at this time, they were beginning to run a little short on funds also. So they kind of changed the philosophy there. So they tried to find someone to take Eleanor and to finance her restoration. The thing with Eleanor is she's unique in that she's the only one left in her class, and therefore a person who's interested in restoring a boat for racing is not going to favor the Eleanor because there's no one for her to race against or with. So a lot of people have wanted like a 6-meter yacht. You know, she wasn't in that category. And even though, you know, I wrote a nice article for their International Quarterly magazine, and I said, you know, Eleanor's a family boat. She's a friendly boat. You know, she's a safe boat. They just couldn't come up with anyone to, you know, pick up the tab. So she remained there, and the school got into some other programs. They started to restore a big building next door to where their school is, and they had to move all the boats, all the historical boats that they had taken in, who they hadn't been able to restore. They moved them out, and then they moved them back, and you know, just nothing happened. And like Cassin said, when he went over, and when I, you know, he said, gee, he came back, and he said, she's not covered up, you know, I don't know what's, you know, I don't think it's very good what's happening. And then I was over in Newport on a totally different mission, and I stopped, and I found the Eleanor behind, you know, kind of tucked away with the other boats that they'd taken in their boneyard. They call it a boneyard. And I was terribly upset about, you know, the way she looked. So I threw a fit. I guess that's the way to say it. I threw a fit. And I went in and you know, and I said, you know, that sailboat's coming back to Columbia County where, you know, she will be restored. So that's why she's back here. And I think it's because I, you know, I still had an attachment to Eleanor. You know, and I've asked them, what about the other owners? You know, what about the other owners of the other boats that are sitting there? Don't they want to know? Well, you know, everybody's got an answer, you know, for something. But I'm sure that they're very pleased to have the Eleanor here being restored because it's good for them. I'm sorry that, you know, we put her over there for 10 years. As I say, she got fat when she was over there. She got fat and lazy. She lost her long, long sleek lines. But Cassin's going to work to get those back. So that's kind of why. Yeah. Good question.
Louise?
Yeah, Vince.
I know that the mast is gone and most of the rigging. The wood components
right.
are probably gone, but did anyone salvage the metal components? They're probably one of a kind, cast bronze. It'd be very hard to replicate or replace.
Well, that was one of the things when I, you know, went in and said they would return the Eleanor, and then, you know, I said, of course, and, you know, we did some corresponding by mail, and I said, of course, you know, we'll want the mast, the boom, and all the metal fittings, brass, solid brass fittings. At which time I got the return letter that they had disposed of those things. Now, in the New York Times on December 27th, I think, there was a nice article, interesting article about organizations needing to sell things in order to keep themselves solvent. I have no idea if that's what the school did, but all of that is gone. So if anybody wants to write a letter and say, hey, take a look at your policy, but all of that is gone. But we can see in photographs and with Cassin's line drawings and, you know, some of our input. You know, I'm sure we'll be able to get that back, but, you know, I was very upset about that. I'm trying not to be, you know, negative here, but it's the truth.
And, you know, as far as the hardware goes, you're right. I'm sure it was probably one of a kind. Most of the time when boats were built, even today when boats are built, a lot of times the boat builders will have patterns sent off to foundries and casts, mm-hmm. and they'll have their own sort of hardware made. But there is sort of a similarity overall over a lot of it. A turning block generally was, they were all very, quite similar to one another. So even though we will probably never know exactly what the hardware looked like on the Eleanor, we will be able to get authentic, bronze hardware that is styled, from her era, from the, you know, early 1900s.
Two questions, if I might. The barn that you need, how big is it, and is it 24? Is it 12 months a year, or is it not? Because you seem to suggest it was open. I may have misheard that.
Well,
and how much would it cost?
Pole barn. We're looking into the cost of it right now, but a pole barn is just a. It will be enclosed. The barn will be enclosed. I mean, what we're figuring right now is it'll have a metal roof. It'll be sheathed on three sides with windows along the longer sides for natural light. And the front end of the building, the idea is that it'll just be giant swinging doors. So essentially, mm-hmm. you can open the front end of the building. But no, it'll be enclosed. I mean, you got to keep the wind and cold out. And it will be 12 months.
You said 25 by 40?
About 24 by 40.
And the 40 is long. How high is it?
40 in length. It that'll depend a little bit on how the trusses are built. If they're just a regular truss, we're going to have walls that are 14 feet high. We need the clearance. The boat stands about 8 feet when she's out of the water, so we need to be able to be on deck and moving around on top. So we need that extra height. If something, you know, depending on which way we go with the specifics of the boat building. If we go with a scissor truss, maybe the walls can be a little less, a little lower.
Mm-hmm.
But as a preliminary thought, 25 wide, 40 feet long, 14 foot walls, and about a 7 pitch roof.
We think it's going to cost around $20,000 maximum. The building's probably half that, and electric, a floor, some other things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you need some sort of plumbing you're going to need. I mean, running water.
Plumbing, you need a drain, so.
Right.
Well,
maybe a garden hose is going to be the plumbing.
And that should be enough.
Yeah.
Just
but
some
power,
running water.
Dry. We need to heat it to some extent. Not totally heat it, but to work on it year round, we're going to need to be able to close it up and at least get it above freezing.
Okay. Another something off a different subject. The historic designation that the boat had, it can continue. You're confident that it will be able to retain that in its current situation,
yes.
In its condition.
That, you know, I just, you know, going through the files recently and all the time, there was a documentation, a letter that actually was written to Iris, assuring them that once you're designated as a national historic vessel, in this
mm-hmm.
case. That continues, so that does continue, yes.
There are many boats that don't have any parts left over from the original construction,
mm-hmm.
once they've been rebuilt several times.
Right.
And as Kaz was saying, over a 100-year lifespan, it's easy to rebuild a boat.
I was just curious about the historic designation of how that applies and how you authenticate it with something that indeed you naturally rebuild over time.
It will be the Eleanor.
Yeah.
So it will continue to be on the National Register, yes.
We're going to sell little pieces.
I want duct tape.
This might be getting a little too far ahead of ourselves, but has there been some thought about the extent to which this project could serve as the catalyst for a boat building academy, a sailing school, an ongoing, maybe a water, wooden boat festival on our waterfront, and the kinds of things that this would be the sort of spark plug event that would trigger that other kind of stuff.
We started to talk about all of those things. Yeah. And we certainly want to talk to the folks involved on the waterfront.
Okay. Because I think that also opens up grant opportunities if we get into that educational component.
Right. And I think we're all in agreement that there's going to be an educational component to this initially and ongoing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And hopefully this will be the first of other vessels to be restored or built as part of the whole project.
Right. It's not just about this one boat. It's potentially a bigger ongoing thing.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes, the Restoration Society, not the Eleanor Restoration.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, that you said it's the historical restoration, not specific.
Mm-hmm.
Louise. Yes.
Do you have an anticipated time schedule for the various elements of the project?
I guess you could pick a number out of the hat, and that's kind of what we did. In 1013, the boat will be 110 years old. It depends on funding.
It depends on money. Is it going to drive the construction? I mean, we're going to have we're going to be incorporated in, how long, Richard? 6 weeks?
I hope, optimistically, we, in order to do the project, not only do you have to get a certificate of incorporation filed, but you have to get the approval of the Department of Education first. So we're dealing with a couple of state agencies that have to give their approvals before we're technically speaking a corporation.
That's Richard mm-hmm. Cully speaking over there for people who can't see him. He's
and then obviously the construction would be driven solely by the flow of money, other things. I'm sure the flow of money will not outpace the workers.
There have been some excellent questions that kind of leads me to maybe think about what people are interested in or what they feel is important. And so I want to make sure that, everyone, completes the card. And as we said, as Joe kind of pointed out, there are some, basic large committees. But if you can't remember what they are and it you feel you want to be on, you're interested in this, or you have, skills in that area, fill out the card. Everybody needs to fill out one of these before they leave today.
And we're certainly going to be looking for chairs of these basic committees. I mean, that's going to be critical. Someone to provide some leadership and commitment for a period of time to organize these committees and run them. Please think about that as well.
Have you explored the site yet? Have you got some thoughts or some potential candidates for the physical location?
I think we're going to build a shed where the boat is now.
There. Okay.
At Joe's facility. It's close enough to Hudson.
Okay.
You've been so kind as to generate, donate the space.
I think it's a great spot because I think it'll be a spot that we're not going to have to move from. Rather than taking a commercial place or something that might go up for sale, right, Joe?
Anybody want to buy a spot?
But I see a couple other people walked in. I think Cass's significant other is over there.
Yes, Sissy.
There's Sissy over there, and Dave Corlett, who started sailing on the Eleanor. And continues to sail today out of the Catskill Creek. Well, not today, but in the season.
Yeah.
And Guy, did you want to say anything before we close up special?
Oh, no, I'm good. I'm covering a lot of it.
Okay. Yeah. There aren't any more. Joe, you want to say anything?
That's it. I want to say thanks for coming out. And again, please try to fill out the card if you're interested.
And take a.
That's if you want to.
We have buttons available for a donation. Eleanor buttons.
Eleanor, get your Eleanor buttons.
Get your Eleanor buttons.
knew there was a report of God.
Thank you so much, Vince. Thank you. Good luck to you, Mr.
Thank you. Thanks. We'll see you around.
You bet. You're all right.
I want to make sure we get all the
Yes, I do.
On the website, there's a little bit of Hudson Vintage Store. And that's, I don't know if that's on here.
Okay, because that gives to the people that are
Let me ask you.
So it's been shipped.
Yeah. Oh, thank you, Jim.
I'm going to give you Alan's card that I filled out for him, okay?
Yeah.
He's sick today.
Oh, no. Okay. All right. All right. Great. Oh, not that, because you got to turn that in. I'm going to write down the website.
Yeah, I'd like to. And I was also thinking.
Those can get given to Joe, yeah.
You have a baseball cap with Captain on, that's all. Not like that.
Yeah.
This kind of happened to me. You got a cell phone. I haven't had one, but I had my cell phone. I had one like that.
So your hand is not too
photo. Yeah, I'll get rid of that. I'm buying it. They ordered a small lobster boat.
Donated center.
No, this is it's got a outboard, 21 foot. They make them up in Nova Scotia. Hopefully, I'll have a deposit.
Was it a center console or did you
No, this is not a pilot house.